Welcome to Ixnay, the podcast where we take a deep dive into the shallow end of the electorate as a means to gaming the 2020 election to our advantage. Turn on, tune in, vote out. Hey, all right now. What a wild motherfucking week already. The top Ixnay pack headline: evangelical Christians sold their soul to Donald Trump and their Supreme Court check. It just bounced. Mercy. Previously on Ixnay, we mentioned the importance of swing states, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, because like it or not, swing states hold our fate. For that very reason, this episode has a scene report from Wisconsin and some advice on how to flip Arizona blue. Which brings us to that unfortunate political elephant in the room, the Electoral College. Now, I really haven't gone off on it yet because, frankly, its very existence sucks. So our mantra remains, swing states hold our fate. Swing states hold our fate. At least until the party is started and Ixnay accomplished. It's my fanatical contention that we try to win every state by as much as possible. In sports, it's considered bad manners to run up the score, but at this point, fuck manners. Let's run up the score on these bastards. Decisive victories are good for the soul, after all, and because the aforementioned LGBT Supreme Court decision has right-wing zealots back on their heels, the momentum is ours. Victory is there for the snatching. You should take a look at 270towin.com, that's 270towin.com, for more on the specifics and why eventually we'll need to Ixnay the Electoral College as well. Before moving on to our interview with Janessa Goldbeck, I suggest you stop listening. Not ideal for our sponsors, but take 5 minutes to read her article about being a U.S. Marine. You can find it over at Refinery29. It's just a small part of her story as a stand-up American human being, one with a bright political future and a funny educational past as a former intern of mine at Vice. Enough with the hogwash, let's get to it. Janessa Goldbeck, hello and Ixnay.
Hello.
All right, thanks for being here. So normally out of the gate, what I do is talk to people about the presidential election across the country and how we can help,
you know, what Ed Abbey called monkey wrench it for Trump.
But yesterday, the Supreme Court dropped that landmark LGBTQ ruling, and you published a piece in Refinery 29 titled, "We Ask and We Tell, But It's Still Hard to Be Queer in the Military," which recounts your experience in the Marines. I'd just like to say about the article that on face, that sounds so fantastically foreign to most of us, and yet when I read it, the experience rings pretty familiar in a way, and I thought it was incredible. Everyone needs to read it.
Well, thank you very much
for doing that. Of course, my pleasure. So, what was yesterday like for you, the Supreme Court ruling in particular? The feels must have been kind of otherworldly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for many of us, we are used to waking up, looking at our phones, and feeling a gut punch from whatever horrible news has emerged overnight. Especially for me on the West Coast, you know, there's usually a couple hours of bad news. The Trump administration has done something unbelievably dark overnight or in the morning. So waking up yesterday morning and looking at my phone and seeing all the texts and messages was pretty surreal. And then reading through that ruling, you know, whoever expected Gorsuch to write that kind of ruling? I certainly wouldn't have seen it coming. I loved Alito, you know, getting in there talking about really showing his hand, and I think painting himself an even darker portrait for the history books, but talking about necking and how that relates to being queer. I mean, like, from a different century, really. But yeah, it was nice to have a little glimmer of hope, and it made me feel positive about what we can get done in the next couple months.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You know, it's funny, a couple of years ago when Gorsuch got appointed, a friend of mine who's kind of an alternative publisher who went to law school and now he's a public defender in Denver.
He's like, dude, Trace, he looks just like you.
Neil Gorsuch looks just like you. So now I feel like I can get that costume back out for Halloween. I mean, he's still terrible and scary, yeah, but he's not, you know, people might still give me some candy.
Yeah, I think if you put like the equality flag around your shoulders like a cape, you'll kind of like toe both lines there.
So, well, now the Refinery 29 article filled in the gap pretty much since we last saw each other, as the kids say, IRL. And I think people might be interested to hear you describe our original co-working experience.
Well, co-working is a generous term. I believe I was a intern that was paid by a case of Sparks and a case of Beck's beer every Friday back at your Vice days. I remember I had been living in New York interning. I was a junior in college interning at National Geographic Adventure, which I don't think exists anymore. And I had found Vice, my first copy of Vice, in the basement of my schizophrenic uncle's house when we were moving him out and moving him into a facility. And I found the magazine, and I grew up skateboarding. It just was like right up my alley. And so I saw that there was a position for interns, and I sent you guys an email and was lucky enough to get to be your production assistant rolling around New York City, wrecking havoc. Pretty fun.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember when you left, and you just left me there stuck with Beckles. One of the points you make in the Refinery article is that you have to keep pushing because it takes a long time, right, to get things done. And that reminds me of that MLK quote about the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice slowly. It bends slow. Let's be clear. It's bending slow, but it also can snap back really fast, just like we were talking about with Trump, you know, just changing things all the time. So somehow he remains a formidable presidential candidate. And I'm not sure exactly how. So swing states seem to be the main thing because of the Electoral College. What do we tell people in swing states like Arizona that their primary mission should be?
Sure. Well, it's talking to voters. You know, a lot of elections are built and won around this concept of momentum. And, you know, there is a narrative about Trump that he's unbeatable. And that's just, you know, it's got to be factual. There's no way to prove that, right? Like, sure, he's won this one election, but he's not infallible. No one is. And the tide of public sentiment is turning against him. You know, a lot. He won in 2016 predominantly because of the suburbs. The suburbs really came out for him. And a lot of those voters who maybe consider themselves independents, Republicans, or maybe even Democrats who went with Trump in 2016 are turned off by the divisiveness of his tone, especially recently with the Black Lives Matter movement, the social justice movement that's really taking to the streets and taking over our country in a really positive and dynamic way. Those voters are seeing him as pouring gasoline on the fire. And so that's not appealing to them. So there is a real shot here to win. And especially in a lot of these swing states, Arizona, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Wisconsin, these are states that saw huge voter turnout in the 2018 midterms in the favor of a candidate who was not President Trump. So in Arizona, we have a real opportunity to flip that state for Biden and also potentially actually flip a Senate seat. Mark Kelly, who is a former Navy pilot and NASA astronaut, is running against Martha McSally for the seat that John McCain once held. So, you know, there's a real possibility we could pick up a Senate seat and actually flip that state. And I have a number of things that folks can do if they're interested in getting involved, if you're interested in me talking about those.
Yeah, by all means.
Okay, cool. So the first is, so one of the things we haven't talked about yet is that I served in the Marine Corps for almost 7 years as a captain. And I have worked with veterans throughout my Marine Corps career and after to be advocates for things that a lot of Americans care about, whether that's protecting our national parks or making sure that we have money going to schools and education. And veterans are in a really interesting place in our society because they're respected on both sides of the aisle. So if there are any veterans listening to this, you can be extremely effective in swing states because of that. One of the biggest things that we're doing is we're making phone calls into these swing states from all across the country. I live in California. It's definitely a deep blue state. So the work here that we're doing is making phone calls into Arizona. And the Biden campaign actually has a tool on their website. If you go to joebiden.com, you can click through and actually register to make phone calls into Arizona. And as a veteran, you're someone who can speak to independents, Republicans, and Democrats alike, and they are, you know, more likely to listen to your message. If you're not a veteran, and you want to get involved, I would encourage folks to go to votesaveamerica.com/adopt. And that's an initiative that is helping to organize, train folks all across the country to help contact voters in those swing states that I mentioned earlier. If you go to that website, you can enter your email, pick a state that you want to adopt, enter your email, and then they will actually send you emails, texts weekly with actions you can take. There's online organizing trainings. I know they did a virtual organizing training last week that had like 16,000 people on it. So momentum is really building. I mean, this pandemic has people at home and they want to be involved. Yeah. And so let's leverage the tools we have to contact as many voters as possible.
I know. I mean, the election was just so close last time. The Electoral College makes it just such a wild ride that people want to get involved and people are just preying on a few states to kind of to pull it out.
Now, yeah, it's wild. And the thing is that, you know, if we don't beat Trump in this election, I think it's going to do two things. It's going to, one, we'll have to endure four more years of this madness, which I think everyone's just emotionally exhausted, let alone economically, morally, ethically, there's just so many things. Right. But, the other thing is that it will help sort of enhance this narrative that participation doesn't matter. And that's what the other side wants. And by the other side, I don't even mean party. I mean, people who want people to stay home. Who benefits from voters not being engaged? Corporations, and right. We are under their thumb unless we participate. So it can be very easy to feel cynical, but cynicism is what gets us even deeper into the hole we're already in. So I'd encourage folks, even if you've never made a phone call or done anything political in your life, just hop on one of these trainings. It's not difficult. It's not rocket science. And you can really make a difference.
You know, in the very beginning of when we started the 6-9, it really was just to get rid of Trump. And my whole thing was just vote. You can vote for whoever the hell you want. I famously said on a Texas TV ad, I was like, politicians, you know, you may not be interested in politics, but politicians are interested in you. You need to be paying attention. Just get involved. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard, really, to
That's
just kind of vote
right.
for yourself.
And we think about these national elections being so big, but you're exactly right. In some of these states, you know, it was just a few thousand votes that tipped the balance. That's a few thousand votes. I mean, think about that. That's a couple of people. That's a couple of high schools, right? And if we could just get people to understand that their voice matters, I think this country, the political landscape of this country would look very different.
It's wild. I mean, I think if Trump, one of the worst things about Trump getting reelected is that means I'd have to do a second season of this podcast, and that might just be too much for other human beings.
Nobody wants that, Trace.
I know. That was my number one offer. You know, all podcasts offer some perks. I was like, we'll never come back. Just get us through here to November 3rd. Now's the time of the show where we talk about sponsors. Almost every podcast has a moment where they ask supporters for donations, sometimes via a subscription service like Patreon. But you know, we're not just a podcast, we're a super PAC. So, well, maybe just play it. That's a little something we like to call backmasking for dollars. Now, you'll never be able to tell, but it's a fundraising message in reverse designed to subliminally encourage whoever hears it to send money to Ixnay. Can you hear it one more time? Now, I know what you're thinking. Subconscious messages? What the hell? I saw HBO's Watchmen. But we're only using rock and roll style backmasking as a way to raise money. We're not Satanists, after all. The beauty of this scheme is that we can play the message from time to time, and you won't even be bothered to notice that we're begging, well, maybe more like persuading you to give us money. I think you'll agree that as a fundraising strategy, that's pretty cool. Less intrusive and even less demanding of your conscious yet receptive mind. So just relax and let us ixnay your troubles away while you donate early and often, even if you don't know why. Let's go back to California for a moment. And this is, how do we fight against voter complacency in a place like California where most Americans think that, okay, they're all Democrats and they're all left wing. But also California is probably going to vote for Biden. But how do we convince them that it's important to get out there and vote? And when I think about this a little bit, I was thinking about you as a Marine. Like, you have confidence. We have confidence going in, but you got to watch your flanks. You don't want to screw it up. So, and my feeling is, in order to rid ourselves of Trump, he needs to lose everywhere by a lot. I mean, that's my hope, right?
And so, yeah.
So that's my thing. In New York and California, or places where we assume he's the Democrats are going to carry the day, how do we convince people it's important for them to vote? Because this is always one that they beg out of all the time. Primaries, well, my vote's not going to be that important now. We don't need me to vote for it because it's going to carry the day.
Right. Well, we talked a little bit about momentum at the top of this, and I think it's really important to remember that the more people hear and see validation of Biden as a candidate from people they know and trust, not just political ads or talking heads, but people they know and trust. So whether that's sharing some good polling on Facebook or social media, whatever the kids are on these days, or actually talking about it with your family members. Yeah, his polling has been, he's been increasing his lead over Trump in key swing states by double digits over the last few months. And of course, you know, America has a short attention span, so who knows what could happen. A giant squid could fall in New York City, right? But we need to ensure that we are continuing to kind of build this drumbeat publicly. And one of the things that has really stuck with me, you know, over the course of conversations about police brutality in this country and the doing the work of being an anti-racist, something that some of my Black friends and Black content creators that I've been following have really emphasized over and over again is for white people, people who are not people of color, it's really important for us to talk to our own communities, right? And really educate those in our inner circle. And sometimes we think, like, in order to make a big change, you have to, like, found an organization or do some huge campaign to make a change. But really, there are people within each of our orbits who we can convince to take an action to help build a more socially just world, or to elect a president who isn't President Trump. I am certain that every single listener has at least three people in their orbit who they could have a sustained conversation with. And that, I think, that's where the real work is. If you have time to volunteer, that's great. But the hardest part is convincing someone who you know and love and who loves you back that to come on over to your side. But I bet there are three, at least three.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. You know, getting rid of Trump is really the whole thing about Ixnay. And I just like to think about November 3rd as a good party so that on November 4th, I can just move along with my life. But as I thought about that more, I thought, really, that's a good pitch to people. Look, all you got to do is think about this as a party you're planning, right? You've got to make your invitation list. You got to send out your save the date. You got to make sure people know where to go. You got to get all your friends getting along with each other and pulling the same direction. And then you got to tell people what to bring. It really isn't that complicated. You know what I mean? So in an earlier podcast, I bragged about our backmasking music raising a bunch of money and that maybe I would come to an election night party and burn $1 million like the KLF in the front yard of the party. Now, I know in California you can't do an open burn, so I can't bring $1 million. But if I was to come to your election 2020 party, what could I bring?
Wow. Well, I would like to watch you burn $1 million. I think that would be that would sort of scratch the slight anarchist itch I have. What is money, anyways, Trace? Really, but a concept. But I will definitely be bringing, I think maybe some fireworks. I was a combat Ooh. Engineer officer in the Marine Corps, which meant cool. We got to build things and blow things up. So I have a special hankering for explosives. And I think we should, no matter what happens, we need to blow up the system. We might as well start with an election night party.
Janessa, thank you again so much for your time and your insight. And best of luck with everything. We'll be watching you like a hawk.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to have a conversation with you. Get out there and vote, people.
Okay, listen up, everybody. We're doing a membership drive, but it's not one of those where we interrupt the classical music for 10 or 15 minutes of blah, blah, blah. I'm here with an exclusive offer to make you a card-carrying member of Ixnay, a group that's subversive, but not yet outlawed by the Trump administration. And because this is our initial membership offer, for as little as $10, we'll send you a spiffy Ixnay membership card, good for impressing fellow travelers and caging discounts anywhere independent thinkers can be coerced. Our core political belief that chaos is just as important as order offers a flexibility of thinking unapproached by rival political action committees or even most secret societies. So while we might not be the masters of Atlantis, with your help, we could become the largest anti-Trump membership organization in America. So what are you waiting for? Go to ixnaypac.org/membership and sign up to get the voter ID card your parents warned you about. This week's Ixnay Pac poll is on the question of mask wearing etiquette. It's something that's been vexing me for a couple of months now. This is the question. When you see someone you find sexually attractive, should you A, exhale and inflate your mask, or B, inhale and collapse your mask? Go to IxnayPac on Twitter to let us know, and I'll be back next week with some actual news you can use. And now, to the phones. The opinions expressed on the Ixnay Hotline do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this podcast or our sponsors.
Hey, Ixnay, this is Mike McCabe of Our Wisconsin Revolution with a scene report from America's Dairyland. You know, if Donald Trump has a path to re-election, it leads right through the heart of my home state. Wisconsin was instrumental in putting Trump in the White House, and before that, Wisconsin played a crucial role in making Barack Obama the nation's first black president and then re-electing him. So when it comes to presidential elections, Wisconsin has been America's weather vane. Whichever way the winds are blowing here, they end up shaping the landscape across the entire country. You know, in 2016, Hillary Clinton did not visit our state a single time after winning her party's nomination. Not once. The Democratic establishment then focused almost entirely on turning out the vote in Wisconsin's biggest cities, Milwaukee and Madison. Those were mistakes that have cost our country dearly, and they can't be repeated. All of the divisions that this divide-and-conquer president exploited on his way to the White House and remains so dependent on today are on prominent display here in Wisconsin. Urban versus rural, left versus right, black versus white. That's why our Wisconsin Revolution is equally committed to organizing and mobilizing voters in inner city neighborhoods and small rural towns. We're busy building a bigger and broader coalition in Milwaukee, but we've also got an active Northwoods chapter and just started a new chapter in Columbia County in the heart of farm country. Trump's path to the White House cut right through our state, and denying him re-election depends on not writing off any part of our state. Repeating the mistakes of 2016 and expecting a different result this time is, well, insane.
If you'd like to leave a scene report, that number again is 512-766-8279. You may remember that last week I called the RNC. That turns out to have been a big mistake because now I'm receiving money-grubbing messages daily from Trump and his family. Talk about suffering for your art, man. To wrap things up, if you would kindly follow Ixnay Pac on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, it would be a great service for the cause. Our cause, your cause, everybody's cause. So thanks again for everything. And if you're out on your bike tonight, don't forget, the nature of your oppression is the aesthetic of our anger. Ixnay. Oh, and fuck John Bolton.